Coming up in this episode of Stay Haunted, we give you a full rundown of everything that's at the Queen Mary's Dark Harbor this year. Hello there, and welcome to Stay Haunted, Creepy Kingdoms podcast, all about haunts. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. And in this episode, we take a deep dive into the Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. Or take a deep dive off. I don't know, there's some deep diving going on somewhere there. Within the next week, we are going to be releasing a handful of Stay Haunted episodes to get all these haunt reviews up before the end of the month. Still to come, we have Warner Brothers Horror Made Here and part one of our review of Halloween Horror Nights Orlando. And I say part one because we recorded it, but we're going to have a part two a little bit later. And you'll know why when you get to that episode. But anyways, lots more good stuff coming your way. But we have so much to talk about in this episode. Let's just get to it right now. Alrighty. I am here with Danielle. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. You know, it was only fitting you were on the first episode of Stay Haunted, talking about the Dark Harbor panel at Midsummer Scream. So it's only fitting to bring you back to talk about Dark Harbor, the actual event, as it just opened up, and you and I, along with Shannon, seems like on these podcasts we're always talking about Shannon, but she never comes on them. I don't know. But anyways, we were also there with Josh and Angie for Network 1901 and a few other people as well. But it's just me and you here. You know, we started this Dark Harbor thing and we're gonna end it. We're going to put a fork in it and we're going to talk about this year's event. Now, in case anyone listening is unfamiliar with what Dark Harbor is, it's a haunt that takes place at the legendary Queen Mary ship, a ship that sailed many moons ago, but is now permanently docked in Long Beach, California. It is known to be one of the most haunted places in America, like the actual paranormal haunt. In fact, they have a paranormal tour that we've covered and all that kind of stuff. And they have some actual mazes in the bowels of the ship, as well as right outside the ship. And our episode last year was pretty interesting because Josh actually knew a lot about the history of the Queen Mary. I guess he's just a history buff. And pretty much all of the mazes that Dark Harbor does are based on actual people that were once on the Queen Mary. So they're not just random scary characters. They are based in somewhat in history. So it's a lot of fun to kind of see history come alive in a very spooky, scary way. And it's a unique offering that you just not, nowhere else can really offer. There's other historical places that have haunts. Eastern State Penitentiary and Philadelphia comes to mind. But still, there's only one Queen Mary. So Danielle, you know, you were on the preview show and you have mentioned there that Dark Harbor is your favorite haunt to go to.
Yes, it is absolutely my favorite haunt. Partially because of the history, and I sort of like the location and how they utilize historical figures in their mazes. Mm-hmm. But I also just feel like their mazes are just really on point. Their set design, their monster design, it's just very intriguing. And the narratives as well. It all just comes together in a really cool haunted attraction.
Yeah. Let's see. How many years have you gone? I mean, that's a weird question. But how long have you been going?
Yeah, I've gotten into it a little bit later. I believe this is my second year. Both years I went kind of as press, which I think sort of made my experience perhaps a little bit better than going just as a general person, because you get there a little early, there's no line. I felt like the scare actors maybe like hyped it up a little bit because they know that you're reviewing them. So I might have a little tainted view because I haven't actually gone just like as a person. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I do know what you mean personally, but I could tell listeners, I've gone on media night and I've gone not on media night, and where people don't know that I'm media or the actors, and I would say that they always seem to bring their full game to the table.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know. Yeah, because I'm reviewing it hoping to set the right expectations, you know.
Well, all you can talk about is your experience, so don't worry about that.
Yeah.
And our experience is that we just went to the event together, as we just stated, and we get there early. We don't have to wait in long lines, which is a upcharge that is available to patrons, but that's not. It is what it is. I mean, every haunt and theme park has that upcharge offer if you want it.
Yeah. I did want to add that this year it seems like they added wait times to the mazes, which is very helpful. It'll say, you know, wait time approximately like 45 minutes or whatever outside the maze, which I think I would really appreciate. There's only 6 mazes, so I think unlike a haunt like Not Scary Farm or Six Flags, you know, people are there to do the mazes, and there aren't rides or sort of a lot of other things to take people's focus off. So if you were to get a front of line pass at any theme park, Dark Harbor is definitely the place to do it, because unlike other theme parks like Not Scary Farm or Six Flags, when people go to Dark Harbor, they're there to go to the mazes. There aren't rides per se or a significant amount of shows where people are sort of dispersed among the park. Yeah. They're basically there to do the mazes. I mean, there's the Sinister Swings, and there's some slider shows, and there's ongoing shows here or there, but the mazes really get crowded, and there's only 6 of them as well, which can increase wait times
for sure. And one thing to point out for this year is that, well, typically every year they introduce a new maze. This year they did not. But what they did do was they essentially overhauled all the mazes. And then they hired as a consultant John Cook, who has mostly known for his work at Knott's Scary Farm, to come in and John Cook up the place. I don't know what else about it. And so, as a result, even though there's no new mazes this year, they're almost new because they're so different than they were in the past.
Yeah, I feel like that's very true. They really revamped the mazes, and some of them it's almost like they didn't use any of the set pieces from before. It's completely new stuff even.
Yeah, like from the ground up for sure. So, and I thought just from a quality level that this year was the best year that it's been.
Yeah, and I've been kind of hearing that throughout the scene that this year has really been a standout year in the harbor.
Yeah, I think this is the fourth year that I've gone. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I've gone more than four times. Like, I think what I was saying there was one year where I ended up going three times, and last year I went twice. So I've been to Dark Harbor quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I would say probably more than any other SoCal haunt. And so I have a pretty good understanding of where they're at from the past 4 years, at least. I'm not sure exactly when they started. I'm not the Dark Harbor historian. But
yeah, I don't recall either about when, how long it's been running. But it does seem, from what I hear, to get a little bit better every year.
Yeah, and now they're here. And they've raised the ante. They call it the darkest year ever, or whatever they called it. They said something. They kept saying how dark that it's...
Dark, more sinister, more intense, more... Yeah, a lot of adjectives to describe the direction that they're going this year.
Well, one thing is that was taken away that I really enjoy was Soulmate, because I really enjoy the character, Graceful Gale. But Graceful Gale did make an appearance walking around the grounds.
She did. And she looked incredible as well for a dead woman.
What's interesting about Graceful Gale is sometimes she's very silent and she doesn't say anything. She just communicates non-verbally. Another time she's a chatty Cathy. And in particular, but it depends on which state you catch her at, because in Soulmate, if you catch her at the beginning of the maze, she talks to you a lot, but I guess something bad happens to her and she doesn't want to talk anymore. But in particular, she was standing outside of Soulmate last year and she was trying to get me to meet up with her later. She was essentially flirting with me.
Yeah, she thought you might be her soulmate. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Right, and she was doing this in front of my domestic partner, Shannon, who was not pleased and was trying to shut it down. But I was like, hey, just let's hear what she has to say. All right, doesn't mean we're gonna meet her, but let's just hear what she has to say. Let's not be rude. But no, I was glad that she was still out there to be met, even though Soulmate is not here. I heard that it's going to come back. I don't know if it's true or not, but I hope so.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they put it back in the same spot, because now Feast is there. I don't know where they would put it, or if they move Feast back.
Right. Well, let's I'm trying to think. How should we? Do you want to? Do you remember the order that we did things? Do you want to talk about the mazes in that order, or?
It doesn't matter to me. I remember I wrote them up in the way that we did them. It went from Intrepid to Circus to Feast to B340 to Lullaby to Dead Rise.
All right. Well, let's do Intrepid. And let's see, Intrepid. So Intrepid was very, very interesting. This is a maze that has completely changed from its original state. I believe it debuted in 2016, and it was pretty much nothing. This first year, it was like the whole pathway was like chain link fences. You could see through them. You know, I don't really remember much of it, except there was one part where someone's behind a gate and they throw a barrel at you, but they throw it, you know, it hits the gate, but your instinct thinks that it's someone's throwing a barrel at you. And I was like, well, that was a pretty cool thing. I never seen that on Haunt before. But, it was not much of anything. And then, I think that was 2016. Yeah. Anyways, then last year it kind of really changed, completely, where it looks like you're boarding a train, and then it looks like you went into some mines. I'm still not really sure what's going on, like what the story here is. It's supposed to be about the iron workers who built the Queen Mary, that some of them lost their lives doing it and morphed into these metal people. I don't know. Something like that. I don't really know. But yeah, so you would start off on a train, then you would go through these little pathways, and it seemed like you were going through some kind of tomb or something. That's my vague memory of going in last year. This year, I was just completely blown away. It was the first thing we did. It set a very high precedent for the rest of the night. And I'm still not quite sure exactly what's going on here, but as far as a story, were you able to pick up on a story when we were going through it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty incredible. You start on the train, and you kind of get off the train, and you're in the cemetery. And this was probably the most beautiful, picturesque scene. There was snow blowing off the trees. There were all these people carrying black umbrellas, kind of ominously, sort of around these gravestones. And you couldn't tell who was a mannequin and who was a person. And it shifts into a church. And you kind of go through, like, Scotland, and you're in the shipyard, and you sort of, it's during the plague, and there's people in plague masks.
Oh, that's what it was, the plague. That was a big part of the end there. Yeah, it's all coming together now. Thanks for making sense to me.
Yeah. So that was kind of the narrative. And if you heard me in the last podcast where we sort of talked about the Queen Mary panel at Midsummer Scream, I threw some shade at Intrepid. And I'm like, you know, this maze, it really doesn't kind of have the same quality as the other mazes. But this year, I was so blown away. It was almost by far my favorite maze. I thought it was just incredible what they did with it. It was a whole new thing. John Cook must have really worked his magic on it, I think.
Yeah, it was great. And every detail. And also, in fact, I think this was the only maze where I was startled, like where somebody really scared me, like where they got me.
Yeah, you screamed like I've never heard you scream. It was amazing. I was like, whoa.
I was like, they got me. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, they got me too. They got me too a couple times.
Now, this was Intrepid too, yeah, where they also had a room of fog, right, with the lasers. Yeah.
The green fog, it was almost like you're walking through like a marsh or something in Scotland, and the fog was so thick, and there were lasers so you couldn't really see, and people were coming up from the fog, and it was very creepy. It also kind of made me feel a little claustrophobic, because I'm like, how do I get out of this room? Like, you couldn't really figure out what direction you were supposed to go. It was just an open kind of area with fog and lasers. It was very interesting.
So what's interesting about that is that I was walking behind you when we went through this part. And I was thinking, how does she know how to get out of here? Because no, you literally you can't see like more than an inch in front of your face. I gotta say, I don't care for that element as a thing. This happens in another maze at Dark Harbor, and you're right as far as claustrophobic, because that's as far as things go. I don't deal with claustrophobia very well. Nothing really triggered it too bad. So my anxiety, I mean, but I will say that I didn't have any anxiety at all walking through this fog room because I was like, oh, I'm just, Danielle knows where to go. And I kept thinking, how, is there like a path or is someone, like, no, how would you even know?
Making my own path, just trying to figure it out. But I hear what you're saying because in the other maze, and I'm sure we'll talk about this later, Dead Rise has this thick fog. And, you know, if people are going in back to back, it bottlenecks. And then you're running into people. I mean, that didn't happen in Intrepid, but it could have.
Yes.
Been one of those rooms. So I can see why it's not your favorite element of a haunt.
I also say that our walk through Intrepid, we were alone. Like, yeah. I don't remember seeing anyone else. That's not a common experience at Dark Harbor. Usually you're back to back with people, just the way that they pace this. So we really got to explore and feel like we were really alone, which, you know, it makes the lines kill it like crazy long, but that is the best way to experience these haunts, is, you know, not just feel like you're going on a little adventure by yourself, not like there's a conga line, you know, which is an unfortunate thing that has to happen sometimes. But
yeah, absolutely. I do think that, and I can't say this with certainty, but I do think that Dark Harbor tries to space the lines. And that's what kind of adds to the long wait times, because they seem like they want everyone to have kind of this unique experience with smaller groups.
Yeah. I mean, it makes the wait longer, but it's a better payoff. And in conclusion with Intrepid, the exit of the maze was actually themed like you're walking out of a ship. And I don't think... like, this one was not on the ship. Let's just say that. This one, it was something built from the ground up. And, you know, usually the exits are pretty unthemed and nothing. But I thought that was pretty cool that they actually themed the exit of it.
Yeah, totally. And they had, I don't think it was the Iron Master, but some Scottish fellow kind of saying some kind of narrative. I don't know what it was, but it was cool to kind of have that full circle.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this one was my favorite one of the night. So it set a very high precedent. I guess that wasn't matched, but it was close to match as we continue.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to our next one.
Circus.
Now, this is something that has pretty much been there since I've been going. I've seen many different. iterations of it. The one thing that they were touting this year, they said that some of the mazes had secret bars in it. Mm. Now, apparently this was one of them. But you had to have a coin that match the maze you're in order to get into the secret bar. We only got one coin per group, and so we didn't have this one. Josh and Angie, basically, they told us that, you know, even though they got one coin when they came in, they found characters hanging outside of the circus tent and were talking to them and were asking them about the bars and essentially got all the coins from the various characters to get there.
Oh, that's good to know.
So they were... I don't know if that's a pro tip that we're leaking, but they were determined to find all the secret bars, essentially. but we didn't find the bar. So circus, as we went in, it had... it's essentially the same things in different order. They had a few different things there, but it kind of feels like the same experience that we've had before. Which is kind of like walking through Funhouse. There's a lot of Funhouse things there. And one thing right away, which caused quite a traffic jam, was they put you into a mirror maze.
Oh, right.
And no one knows which way to go. And people are walking into each other and crisscrossing each other. And it's very confusing.
I did like that, though. I did like it. It was very confusing. It did cause a traffic jam, but it was kind of fun to sort of find your way, because you would go left and it would be a mirror and you hit the mirror and you're like, oops, and then try and you'd end up back where you started. And eventually, I think a character had to say no and point the direction because we were really struggling. But it was kind of fun getting lost.
Yeah. It's not. I don't really care for that stuff, personally, but I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, talk about claustrophobia. You know, like, even if you're just by yourself in a mirror maze, that's tough. But with people crisscrossing around you and in front of you, that's a little much.
It was a much, but it was silly, and yeah.
I mean, I guess you're like, yeah, whatever happens, happens. Eventually, I'll get out of here, and then it'll be fine. But yeah, there was two paths. We only went down one of them, went through once. I was told on the path that we didn't take that they had one of those super big, tight balloon things you have to walk through that are...
Oh, like the tubes?
Yeah, that are, you know, where they, you know, you push through airbags and, you know, it's another claustrophobic experience.
Because I looked back there and it looked like just a ball pit, like exactly what we had. Because we went down the left side and we went into a ball pit, which was similar to last year.
Yeah.
And when we got out of it, the two kind of pathways converged and I saw a ball pit in the other room. Really? So I thought, you know, maybe it doesn't affect repeatability. Because they just wanted to cut down on the line by providing, you know, two different ball pits so people don't get stuck in there.
Well, no, apparently there's a little bit of a different offering when you go that way.
Interesting. Okay.
Just a little bit. But overall, it seemed very similar. There was part that I thought was cool where you walk through what seems to be like a backstage for Sideshow Freaks. They had a few vanities set up, and you were actually walking on hay. It smelled like you were in a in a field.
Yeah.
And they had a bungee performer, which jumped out at you, but they had a bright light, and it's in there where they were, so you couldn't really see them at all. You just saw them when they kind of came close to you. I would have liked to actually have seen them. I don't know if you noticed that, but then they also had like a spin the wheel thing going on there at the same time. And I didn't really understand what was happening with that. Now, when you spun the wheel, what was it that was going to happen? Did you comprehend that?
Yeah, he spun the wheel for Shannon. Well, she spun the wheel, and of course, not to like put all carnies in a box. But, you know, he stops it on whatever number he chooses to stop it on, and jokes on Shannon. And he said, oh, my goodness, you're going to have 27 children. That's what the – it was almost like a fortune-telling wheel.
Oh, okay. So that seems to me like a bottleneck creator.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's like, did they do that just because they knew we were pressed? Did they, like, you know, did they? It was a bottleneck creator because we were in there for a while, I thought, while he was spinning it, because he let it spin and probably went around, I don't know, four times.
I mean, I would say over a minute we were waiting there. And if you're thinking about, you mean, it's not a really long time. That's a super long time for walking through a log maze. So, I mean, probably even closer to 2 minutes, in all honesty.
It was a long time.
But I was kind of indifferent about Circus. There were some parts of it I liked. Some I didn't. Mirror Maze. I don't know. What's your overall thoughts on it?
You know, Circus was among my favorites last year because I kind of like the idea of a lighthearted, fun circus in the midst of all these dark, sinister kind of characters. I think it was maybe, it was among the top for me, but not the top.
Okay. Not the top, but it was near top. To me, it was just I had an okay time in there, but it wasn't really a different experience.
Yeah, it was very similar to last year, despite some of the differences.
Yeah, and I would say pretty much ever since every year I've gone, it's been there and it's been pretty similar. So
really make it feel like a circus. Like what you think it is kind of what it is.
Sure. Let me be clear here. My criteria for it to be good is not for it to be different than the previous years. You know. But I think I just liked some of the older years' circuses, I guess, for lack of a better way to describe it.
To that, I think this year, more than ever, there was kind of a nostalgic factor with people who are veterans of going to the harbor, where, okay, I enjoyed the new B340, I enjoyed the new Lullaby, but I missed the old one. I felt like that kept coming up, like, really? I enjoyed Circus, but I missed the old one. I enjoyed, you know, because it's hard because you're comparing it to what it was.
Sure. Well, and in the past, too, the mazes would change, but very slightly, not as drastic as they have. And I think I only said that once, that I missed the old one, which we'll get to when we get there.
right.
But you heard other people saying that throughout the night?
Yeah, I just kind of felt, and I felt that way a little bit too, just, you know, going through every maze and comparing it to the year prior, or the year I went prior.
Right. You know? Gotcha. All right. So where do we go to after Circus? Do you recall?
Oh, we went to Feast.
Feast. All right, so this is the second year for Feast. Feast debuted last year. And this is essentially a tale of a chef that is cooking people based on some crazy stuff that happened. Did it really happen? Did it not? I don't know. But that's what this is based on. I didn't really like it last year. I don't know what you thought about it last year. I thought it was okay. And again, what came up in Feast, which I'm not about at all, is they want you to crawl through a real tight space, which I'm not about. But
yeah. Well, last year was an oven, and at least when I went, there was no padding on the ground. You were walking through or crawling through sort of this hard and uncomfortable thing. And this year, it's sort of the same, but you're crawling through a meat grinder. But it is padded. So it was still a little uncomfortable getting on all fours and climbing through a small space, definitely.
Now, was this year's longer of a space to crawl through?
It's hard to say. I don't remember too much. I know this year it felt like it might have been longer because there was stuff in there, whereas last year there was no stuff to see as you were crawling.
Now, the reason I'm asking her this is because I did not crawl through this space. Because... because, you know, like, essentially not everyone can crawl. So there's a option to bypass it. And last year, when you bypassed the crawling, you missed the whole scene that you guys end up in.
Oh.
So I never even saw that whole scene. And this year's when you crawl, essentially it's all played out in the same room. The meat grinder thing lets out on the other side of the room. But there's windows and you can see people crawling through it. Now, I guess this is like a one-way mirror because you could not see outside of it, right?
You know, I think I could. I think it was plexiglass. I think I just didn't look out.
Oh, okay.
It would have been cool if it was a one-way mirror, but I don't recall. I heard someone banging on kind of the window viewing area, and I just kind of ignored it and kept crawling. I didn't even look up.
Right. Well, that was me. Because somebody that went through the maze earlier said that I could do that. They're like, oh, the people that don't crawl, they could bang on the...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was, you know, the chef or whoever the monster was in there. But then as I continued crawling through the meat grinder, he showed up at the other end of the crawling space, and he was crawling towards me. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I had to wait for him to backwards crawl out of it before I could get out.
So it's called a meat grinder, but it's not like a conveyor belt. Like, you have to move yourself, right?
Yeah, you have to move yourself. The aspect of it that distinguishes it as a meat grinder is you end up crawling over plexiglass, and beneath you, you see the blades of a meat grinder spinning.
Ah.
So you look down, and there's, you know, all these blades kind of turning, and you're like, oh, that's kind of cool, and you sort of crawl past it.
That's interesting. So there's pads, but between the pads, you could see blades spinning?
So there's pads, and then there's a square of plexiglass with the blades, and you crawl over the plexiglass onto another padded area and keep going.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, so we got out of there. What was really interesting was that Shannon thought the exit was some place that was not part of the maze and tried to squeeze to this really tight wall.
Oh, yeah. I was like, is that the exit? And she's like, let's go. And she tried to squeeze, and she said it was just weird set stuff back there. Nothing notable.
And then realized that's not the right way. So be careful of that if you haven't been. If it seems too tight to fit through, that was not meant for people. There are some mazes that have tight squeezes like that. Not at Dark Harbor, but just some odds.
Yeah.
This is not this one. Again, I didn't really like it that year, last year that much. I thought this was another one that was okay. How did this fall for you?
You know, this year it was very one note. They played this really high intensity music throughout the whole thing. It was all kind of dark and, you know, going through hanging bodies that were upside down on like meat, you know, whatever. And and the music was playing, and you go through the grinder, and even after you go out, the music's still playing. And there's kind of this feeling of like, okay, what's next? But then it just kind of ends. And so it sort of left you feeling like, oh, you know, that wasn't that great. Put that oomph on the meat grinder.
There was no climax. It seemed like it was building something. I did want to point out, actually, that I thought the music was great. It was very, but it does sound like that, you know, the music in a movie, like before the intense climax, like, are they going to fall off the cliff? I don't know. Oh no, they slipped down. Oh, what's going to happen? You know, it's like that kind of intense music that I thought it added excitement to the maze, because I don't even remember music in Feast last year. I don't even think there was music.
I don't think there was either.
So yeah. So that was a plus for sure. I'm glad you brought that up, because I thought it was good, but for you it was kind of bad because it seemed like it was leading to something and it didn't lead to anything.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was good though overall. I enjoyed it. Yeah, I had something I was gonna say, but I forgot.
Well, must have not been left that much of an impression on you then.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Well,
remember what I was going to say.
Yes.
Sorry. I think out of all the mazes, Feast might be the most scariest, like I think for kids, just because of the music was so dark. I think you could argue that.
Yeah, and I think dark is a good word. I think there was a lot of parts of this maze that were super dark. A few others that are coming up, but there was just a lot of complete darkness. So when they said it was their darkest year ever, they were not kidding. It's very dark. All right, so next we did B340. Right?
Right.
And this one's been there ever since I've been going, as far as I can remember. And it's always, I never really understood what was happening in it in the past. It had a few cool parts, but overall, it didn't really make much sense to me. And boy, they completely redid this one from the ground up. It's a completely different experience and definitely one of the best of the night. Shannon said that it was her favorite maze that she'd done, like, of the whole season. She absolutely loved it. Now, this is kind of about, I'll read the description real quick. It says, a series of inhumane crimes tormented Queen Mary passengers during a routine cross-Atlantic voyage in October of 1948. Follow the lead detective on the scene as he uncovers the evil truth behind one of the most notorious criminals ever to invade the luxury liner, Samuel the Savage. The investigation follows a sinister journey filled with terrifying twists and turns that point to most infamous stateroom on the ship, B340. So this was incredible. I really was. It's funny that it takes place in 1948 because, first of all, the music in there, it sounded like you're like in an 80s movie.
Yeah, it did. The music, I think, was a major highlight for me. It was fantastic. And it was kind of fun. Like, yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun, and the character design, I guess that's Samuel the Savage, right? The guy that keeps popping up.
That was
a brand new design. It was very cool. It seemed like something that was familiar, like he's from a movie or something. Mm-hmm. But it's not, and it was a very cool design. It's kind of hard to explain. It was almost like his face turned into like some kind of like grill. I don't know how you describe it.
Yeah, it was interesting. It didn't look like a person really to me.
No. So again, we might be wrong on who that is. I don't know. Maybe that's one of his victims. I don't know, but. it was great. The set design in here was great. I really felt immersed. And this is one of the ones that takes place on the ship as well. But it was kind of like it could have been anywhere, really. I don't think there was too many ship-specific portions of this maze. This is a place where a secret bar is.
It's not that secret. It's really not.
I didn't see it. You saw it?
You didn't see it?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Well, at least when I went through it, you're forced to walk through it, and there was a woman saying, would anybody like a drink? When I walked
I
through.
I totally missed that. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must have not been near you on this one.
Yeah, people were playing cards. Yeah, it's just kind of like a random reprieve, it felt like, in the middle of the maze.
Well, Josh and Angie informed me of this, that they found this one and that they got in there. And they said this one was very small and that they kind of didn't want to hang out in there too long because it was jam-packed.
Okay.
Another interesting point about the secret bars that Josh told me was that the price of drinks was significantly less there than at the bars outside of the mazes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like the drinks that we got at the beginning of the night, you and I, They were $12. And Josh was saying that the drinks that he got inside were around $6 to $8.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting. But
yeah, you would think that they would want to increase the drink prices in the mazes to kick people out so that they could have like a steady flow of people. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Oh, wait a minute. I realize what part of the maze you're talking about.
I'm looking. I'm like, was it Lullaby that I'm?
I think you're thinking of Lullaby. Yeah, there's a place where we walk in, and yeah, there's people playing cards, all that stuff. Yeah, that was Lullaby.
Was it really?
Yeah, that wasn't this one.
Oh shoot. Okay, well they're both in the bowels of the ship. My bad. Sorry about that.
Right. Because like, I'm thinking, like, I missed what you're talking about, but then what you're describing, I remember from Lullaby. No, and that was not secret at all. It was actually part of the maze, but it was a place.
Yeah.
That's funny. No, so yeah, there's a secret maze inside of this one. Josh told me that, yeah, it was tiny, and that there was a part where there's like three slashes, and there's like red, like in a wall, and like red coming out from behind it. He said that's where it was, and there was a person there taking the coin. And I told him I had no memory of a person standing there. So we didn't have the coin anyway, so it doesn't matter. But because our coin was, as we'll describe, was for another base.
Okay, good to know.
But yeah, man, we're getting deep on this, man. This is a real insider's Dark Harbor review. Very cool. All right. I'm not sure what else to say. I mean, except I think that this maze in particular was like on another level. You know, I mean, Intrepid was as well. That's why Intrepid's still my favorite. But this one was a close second, because just the quality and the production design and the immersion and the music was at a level that Queen Mary just hasn't had before. I don't, you know, like, or Dark Harbor in particular, you know.
Yeah, I feel like music was kind of a new thing this year.
Yeah, I don't really remember music in Dark Harbor mazes before, I'll be honest. They could have been there before, but I don't really remember it. Which is interesting. I mean, music could be used in two ways. It could be used in a way that, yeah, you're not supposed to remember it, but it builds the atmosphere. But this was like a character, especially the B340, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It was phenomenal. And kind of going back to Intrepid, I don't think there was music in that, but there was the train noise, which I think was consistent from last year.
Yeah, there was lots of atmospheric noises in Intrepid. I don't remember any music, though.
No.
Any final thoughts on the B340?
No, I liked it. You know, I think in the past, it was difficult to figure out what the narrative was. It was still kind of difficult this year, but a little bit easier, kind of with the evidence, sort of numbers placed across. It was like, oh, okay, I'm checking out a crime scene. That was helpful with the narrative aspect to help immerse you in the story of Samuel the Savage.
Yes, I agree. All right. So what do we do next? Lullaby, right?
We did Lullaby next. We kind of went like counterclockwise.
Right. So Lullaby, the story of Scary Mary, a little girl who died in the pool on the ship, and her ghost haunts the ship. And this was redone. And this was the one that I said that I was like, I kind of liked it the way it was before. It was a little bit different vibe. Like, the previous years was about Mary kind of haunting you and wanting to play with you in the afterlife. And this one seemed like Mary was a victim. She was being tortured.
Yeah, there was something weird with her teddy bear that was, like, controlling her mind or something like that. It was difficult to put the pieces together, but the teddy bear definitely had something to do with her distress.
Not quite sure.
You're like, I still don't know what was happening.
I don't. But you know, I mean, I really like the character. She's fun. But I guess that's what I was missing, the playfulness of it, because she was kind of being tormented and tortured. And
yeah,
there was even a scene with lots of mannequins of her and being dismembered or something. I wasn't quite sure what was going on in that room.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
And did we go by the pool?
I think so.
I don't remember. I feel like we didn't. We might have, and I'm blanking it out. But normally you go by the actual pool where she supposedly died.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that was there. I know in B340 you walked over like this crazy bridge and saw the machine room underneath. But now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think I saw anything else of note. I don't remember a pool in Lullaby, but yeah.
Yeah, that was always at the end of the maze. So it's interesting. And then at the very end of the maze, Mary's kind of sitting on the ground, like crying and yelling about something. I don't even remember what she was saying.
Teddy bear. That's where I got the teddy bear piece.
Yeah, she was saying something about teddy bear. So I'm not quite sure what was happening there.
There were less Marys too, I think.
Yeah, for sure. The playfulness of Mary wanting to play with you, not to keep saying play a lot, kind of left her popping up all over the place. I mean, the character still looks great, still very creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And still a lot of fun when you encounter her outside of the maze. But yeah, this is one that the other ones I wouldn't say I want to change back, even Circus, even though I wouldn't want Circus to change back the way it was before, but I kind of hope that they bring the old storyline back with Scary Mary, with Lullaby, not Scary Mary.
Yeah, it was missing something for me. I enjoyed it much more last year. It was among my favorites last year, and this year it felt a little bit disjointed, maybe. A little bit, I don't know, less fun, kind of. I thought there were less scares. And you know what I didn't like, too? There was these nets hanging from the ceiling that kept getting stuck on my clothes and were just difficult to move through. And mm-hmm. I'd say most of the mazes at Dark Harbor have weird stuff hanging from the ceilings. But the nets in this in particular, I think they used them in Dead Rise, but it didn't bother me as much, because they seemed kind of out of place in Lullaby. Just like, why is this net here? I don't want to walk through this, kind of thing.
Right. Interesting. Observation.
Yeah, I don't know why. That kind of bothered me.
Yeah, I'm not sure thematically why they were there. I think, and what was in Lullaby before also, and during that same area where the nets were, was like, these really weird, like, inside of it was like a big cotton, like last year, I mean, it was like the previous years, it was like you were like ripped apart the inside of a stuffed animal or something, and some of them came alive because there was characters dressed up in them, and it was always a really cool, freaky, weird scene that was just kind of replaced with nets for some reason.
It was okay. I still enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed all the mazes. I think Lullaby wasn't my favorite, but it was enjoyable. I did enjoy it this year.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it. I did. That was just the one I was just like, oh, I like the old vibe. But there's still elements of the, you know, there's still really cool things that happen in there. This was another one that that had a lot of darkness in it too, where there's a lot of just pitch black corridors.
Yeah.
Where you could barely see. But again, that's part of the uniqueness of having these haunts like on the Queen Mary in the bowels of the ship. Is that it's just inherently creepy no matter what, no matter what's going on there. I can't imagine being a scare actor and like spending a night or how many hours they do like just down in the ship.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely creepy in there, and the smell and the heat, it's like hot and thick and kind of murky smell, like sort of mildewy smell. It really adds to the kind of vibe.
All right, let's move on to the final maze.
Oh, right, Dead Rise.
Yes, so Dead Rise is supposedly... Well, let's see what they have to say about it. The Gray Ghost rises once again, set out on its annual ghastly voyage, damned its eternal battle on living. With the fearless captain at the helm, guests will walk among the rusted carcass of the Gray Ghost as it's full steam ahead into the flames of war. Those unfortunate to be caught in the ship's warpath may either salute the captain like an anchor or sink to the depths of the watery tomb. So, one thing new is they introduced a new character, Half Hatch Henry, someone who was supposedly got caught in some kind of closing doors and got all chopped up a little bit.
Yeah, I think Door 13. They were playing a game where they jump back and forth between the door, right? And then door shut on him or something.
That was on the Dark Harbor. I mean the panel.
Yeah, right.
They said something about it, but that was the only time they really get backstory. They certainly didn't get backstory on him like at the event.
Yeah, sounds like kind of a lame game to play. It's sort of a dangerous game to play.
Well, you know, maybe you're bored on a ship. I don't know, but you're out to sea for months at a time. So this one was touted as having a obstacle course in the middle of it.
Right. And it was like American Ninja Warrior is what they said.
This is what they said. Well, before we even get to that, this was the maze that we had the chip or the coin for the secret bar for door 13. Actually said 13 on it, so that's funny that you're right, all ties together. That's the door that got old Henry here. And we went to this bar. This bar was pretty big. It was open. It was not tight like the other ones were described to me. And it kind of sat above the maze. And it had triggers that you could scare people walking by. So I thought that was a very unique thing to have inside of a maze.
That was a blast. That was so fun. That was kind of randomly one of the highlights of my night, kind of tricking people. Maybe I don't know what that says about me, but it was really fun kind of producing your own scare in the maze. And you have to be 21 or older to go in. And I think that's probably true for all the bars, but it's definitely worth a visit, even if you don't plan on drinking. And I will say, too, they did not take my token. They just said, okay, come in.
So you can go again, huh?
I guess. I don't know that they were taking them or how that worked, but they just kind of let me in, so. Mm. Or let us, I should say.
Yep, we all went in there and scared people for a little bit, and I don't know if anybody got a drink, but no, we did that. So that was a really fun start to the maze. It seemed pretty similar to previous years. It's outdoors. You're going through kind of a wrecked ship. It looks rusted. There's fire. There's water leaking and a whole bunch of stuff like that. And then you reach the part where you split and there's an obstacle course and then there's not an obstacle course. And for me, I didn't do the obstacle course because I didn't want to. I was carrying camera equipment and I just was like, oh, I'm just going to go around. And for me, this is kind of where the whole experience really fell apart. I don't know how the rest of the base was for you. So I'll tell my experience and you could compare and contrast because we definitely got separated at this point. You know, I didn't know where the obstacle course was going to end up. So I was just trying to, you know, go around and meet you guys at the end of it. In the midst of that, a whole slew of people came in behind me. And it's kind of the area next to the obstacle course. I don't know, for lack of a better phrase, call it that. It's kind of an open area. And so it was a little chaotic, to say the least. And then really at that point on, like, instead of having this experience where no one was really around and we were kind of walking by ourselves, I was jam-packed around people and people I didn't know. it's fine. I'm not, like, against other people, but the whole experience of the maze changed. And then, you know, as we head out, the end of the maze goes through this tunnel of just the thickest fog, and it's probably the same length as it's been the past few years because the maze has ended like that at least last year, if not the past few years. But it was, the thing was, is that people were not moving. Like you said, it got bottlenecked. They were scared because they couldn't see where they were going. And it was very backed up. I feel like I was in that tunnel way too long for my liking. Like, it would not move. One thing that was funny, though, was that some kid in front of me said, I can't see anything. And then a scare actor, not, like, totally broke character, and said, that's the point. Like... And just not in a scary, creepy voice, just like. I didn't really. That wasn't enjoyable, and that's more of a logistics issue, not a design issue, I guess. But I guess it goes back to what I was saying before: is that rooms with like fog where I can't see anything. Like, I'm not into that, but I'm like 10 times not into like not being able to move because the person in front of me isn't moving.
Yeah, that was disappointing. I also thought the way that they kind of explained this as American Ninja Warrior was a little bit deceptive. The obstacle course was one climbing rope, like those kind of climbing ropes that you might see at a playground.
Like a net. It was like a net. No.
Like a net, exactly. And there was a bridge, and then there was a slide, and that was it. There was an actor on the top of the bridge, and when you went down the slide, there was some kind of water feature with light water cascading from like a tube or something above her, and she'd splash water on you lightly. But I mean, to kind of say, oh, this is American Ninja Warrior, I was expecting to, I was pumped, like I was ready for that experience. And that's not really what I felt. And I think if you didn't do the obstacle course, this was probably the least physically interactive of the mazes. If you just walked, you know, through it, There was no other opportunities for crawling or for anything, you know?
That's true.
The fog was the thickest fog imaginable that was lit up with these bright white lights. And it was, I mean, that was kind of scary for me because they actually had actors scaring you in the fog and you could not see these people coming, which was scary. And even walking out, having someone from above sort of make noises from above you was you know, I mean, it didn't get me that good, but I was like, oh, damn, you know, like, didn't coming, you know?
Well, in the past when I've done that tunnel, you know, I walked at a regular pace, and that was the scare, really, was the guy at the end is hanging outside, and he reaches at you, you know, and that's fine. And the tunnel's probably the same length as it always has been, but I don't remember it being that, the fog being that thick. And man, that was, like I said, I just didn't like the way that people weren't moving. I'm not quite sure why people's instinct would be to not move in that scenario. Because I think the instinct would be to move as fast as you can and get out of the scenario, right?
Well, I mean, for me, I'm waiting in line to go through the fog area. There's maybe 20 people in front of me that are quickly, but they're sort of slowly filing into the fog zone. And so it was scary because you're like, is there anybody in front of me? You have all your hands out. You really couldn't move quickly because you couldn't see, you know?
Yeah, it must have been worse than other years. So I don't know if they're going to continue going that heavy on the fog. But
yeah, it was extreme.
You know, I can't, the poor actors that just live in that for hours at a time.
Yeah.
That seems,
I feel like there'll be a research study that comes out on the consequences of breathing in fog or something.
Maybe, but also not even the dangers of that, but how are they able to even do what they're doing in there? At least the other room, the other fog room, there's a laser beam that goes across the floor that if you duck below it, the fog doesn't go below that. And so the actors that pop up out of there, they could see your legs. But I don't know how the people in the end of Dead Rise could see what was going on at all.
Yeah, I agree. It was difficult. I know for me, the scare I got in that area was somebody banging something metal up against the metal wall. So they didn't so much pop out at me, but just made a loud noise near me, which was to spook me a little bit.
Maybe that's just what they do. They're just randomly hit the side of the thing.
Yeah, there must be someone here. Yeah.
Yeah, someone will be scared by this. All right. Well, that's all the mazes. We did also take a trip to the ice bar. I forget what it's called. It's not called the ice bar.
Ice cave.
Yes. Which, if anything needed a wait time sign, was that. Because that was a long wait.
Yeah, it was.
I don't really know how long we waited there for, but had we known how long of a wait it was going to be, we probably would not have gotten in the line.
Yeah, it was a long wait to go in there and have one other group of two people in there.
Yeah, that's probably the thing, is that they only allow, like, I don't even know, like six people in there at a time max.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. So this is, you know, it's a vodka bar. It's, everything's made of ice, and it's, you know, 30 degrees in there, so they give you these big coats. They all seem to be the same size. I have very broad shoulders, so it was difficult for me to get the one size on. So they might want to get some bigger sizes of these jackets. And another thing I was thinking too is, like, maybe they only allow so many people in there because they only have so many jackets.
Yeah, I think that could definitely be a factor, is kind of the jackets. Even when we were in there, the guy was, you know, trying to frantically hang up the jackets and put them back together to give them to us. So that might be an issue for them.
Need more jackets. Because, yeah, I mean,
it's cold in there. I'm surprised people, I mean, I didn't want to be in there very long. I was cold. Maybe that's just me, but you think people would just take their shots and want to get out of there, you know?
Well, it's a very cool environment to be in. It's also, like, for us California people, we're not really exposed to that kind of weather. So it's a totally different kind of thing.
That's true. It's like a novelty.
Yeah. But, you know, it was, uncomfortably cold. That's for sure.
I will say that I wore like a long sleeve shirt and I was cold waiting in line for the ice cave. But once I went in there, I came out and I felt perfectly fine because it was so cold in there. It actually felt nice leaving.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really cold that night hanging outside, but I know some of you guys were. But the contrast to that also was that it was so hot in some of the mazes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but when I left the ice cave, my glasses fogged up. So there was that. That pretty much sums it up. The only thing that we didn't really discuss, which I think bears discussing, is the food items that they have there. Did you talk about food in your review for Nightmarish Conjurings?
I did. I kind of was talking about the amount of bars and how it really can increase the amount of intoxicated people in the park because there's, you know, so many bars. But the food is also really expensive, which I think could exacerbate the amount of intoxicated people because they don't want to buy the food. There are kind of lots of food options, and I was surprised by the vegetarian food options. Being a vegetarian, they were like potato tacos and, you know, corn and pizza, and I was like, oh, cool. They had pineapple taquitos, but everything was, you know, a good double of what you think you would expect it to be. Even a bottle of water at one vendor, it was $5. At another vendor, it was $4. It felt like, oh, this is double what, you know, I would normally pay for these things. The food, although there were many options, what I received, I got a pizza, a slice of pizza for $10, and it was burnt. Hopefully they kind of figure that out as time goes on. But I wasn't that impressed with sort of the quality of the food, at least of the pizza. But I did think they had a lot of options.
They did have a lot of options. And you skimmed over that, and I want to spot out again. You got a slice of pizza for $10.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a good slice. It was burnt.
It was totally burnt, like really badly burnt.
And that's unfortunate, obviously. Now, to contrast that, what's something I got, which, I'm contrasting the quality. I will say that the prices that are set here are just really blindside you. I mean, you expect to pay an upcharge at events. You know, I'm not comparing it to the outside world by any means, but wow, that's a doozy. You know, like, it is... $10 for a slice of pizza. I mean, there's that.
The food I'm okay with. Honestly, it's like, okay, you know, I'm in this contained area. I have no option. But the water, when you have a bunch of intoxicated people and not having options for a glass of water, I think is almost, in a way, it's a little dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the bars give out glasses of water or not, to be honest. That's something that should be looked into. I enjoyed what I had. I had a sausage with peppers and onions, and it was huge. It was probably, I don't know, how big would you say it was? It was over a foot long, right? I mean, it was huge.
Over a foot long. It was large. It didn't fit in the bun at all.
No. They, you know, it was good. It was they cooked it on an outdoor grill, and I enjoyed it. That was $13. You know, I mean, if you get like a sausage with peppered onions, like a regular size one, it's probably about $5 or $6. So the fact that it was huge and double, you know, it was okay. It wasn't the worst price thing there, but
yeah. The best value, yeah. I think.
I think so, yeah. That's kind of what I'm getting at, you know. So, I thought I liked it. Everyone else that I talked to that ordered food really liked their food. I think they just really messed up on the pizza.
Yeah, it might have been just the pizza.
You know, because, yeah, everyone else I talked to that got Mexican food or whatever else they had there, they liked it. But that's something to really consider. You know, I don't really know why they set the prices where they set them. I don't know what to say. But I think it's important to know that if you're going to eat there to, you know, plan to spend that extra money.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It can be expensive. I think we glossed over too, in addition to the novelty of the ice bar and the ice carvings that are inside, which are kind of cool, they have all these weird flavors of vodka. That's an two of note, like whipped cream and marshmallow and root beer flavored vodka. So it's not like, you know, you've got you've got Grey Goose or you got Pop Off. Like, it's not like that. It's like interesting flavors.
Yeah, we did skip that, but essentially what you do is before you go in there, you buy a set amount of shots. I think it's either two or four. And then they add about maybe 12 different flavors. So you could try them or you can mix them together and then, you know, to create new flavors. And
yeah, I think that's kind of novel. I think you got whipped cream with root beer. Right?
Yeah, that was supposed to be like a root beer float kind of thing. So yeah, it's cool. They've offered similar things at their chill event that I've had. So they, you know, they offer a lot of alcohol at this event, which I personally don't have a problem with. I think there should be more water available. I agree with you, but I never really encountered any like crazy intoxication from people at Queen Mary, and I've gone, like I said, more to this one more than anyone in SoCal. Have you ever experienced that?
You know, I haven't. And when I went to Knott's Berry Farm, there was a drunk person in one of the mazes with me that was obnoxious, and I have not experienced that at the Queen Mary. Despite, you know, Queen Mary has a ton of bars, and they are kind of inviting you to get drunk at their events. But I think it can really happen anywhere. Sure. I imagine if I stayed maybe later into the night, I might notice something. But if you go, you know, kind of early and sort of leave near the end, but not completely at the end, I think it won't be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've never really encountered an issue. But I'm just saying, just because I didn't encounter it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I understand. Right. What'd you say?
Yeah, I think it's with the scare actors, I feel for them.
Of course.
Because they can be, you know, attacked by drunk people. But yeah, I haven't noticed anything. That doesn't mean nothing has happened. But it hasn't really affected my experience when I've gone.
Yeah, me either. In fact, I really like the alcohol component of chill, which is a totally different conversation. But their Christmas event, but overall, you know, being the Dark Harbor veteran that I'm claiming to be, I think there's just a higher level of quality. They have stage shows here with various acts, whether fire eaters and jugglers and a whole bunch of fun sideshow-esque, you know, kind of peeps around there. You kind of get that like sideshow vibe around the grounds. You know, they have these sinister swings, which is the swing. I don't know what they call those things that, you know, they have at every carnival, but this one was at Neverland Ranch at, used to be at Michael Jackson's house, and now it's at Queen Mary for some reason. And that's really the only rides they have there. One thing that we didn't do, is the 4D movie Panic 4D, which is, that's an upcharge, which, I've done it before Did you do that before?
I have not. I've never done it.
So, I mean, it's a 4D movie. You sit in a theater and you watch a little short film and crazy stuff happens on screen and you feel it. Things happened on your seat. You get sprayed with water. You know, it's fun. But that's available. We opted to not do that. But that's something. And actually, Josh told me another tip there was that next to that room where the Panic 4D is, that's where the sea captain's secret bar is. It's not in a maze.
No, the broken compass?
Yes, that's where it is. It's next to the Panic 4D.
Ooh.
As I said, Josh and Angie were on a mission to find all the bars. They sound like real lushes, but...
They play... Because one aspect that I was a little disappointed in was they... At the panel, they were talking about, Dark Harbor is going to be so much more immersive and you can go on these quests and it ends up in this broken compass, but you can only get there by, you know, doing all of the immersive quests things. And I did not feel like that had a strong presence at all. No. I did not know how to start an immersive game, where they were at, any of that.
I guess that's kind of what Josh and Angie took upon themselves, right? By talking to the characters and finding out information that they would give them.
Okay, so you really got to be a self-starter.
Yeah, it's not like a play the immersive game and find the secret bar. Like, this is totally like you just got to take it upon yourself to start to try to figure stuff out.
Yeah, I wanted someone to spoon-feed it to me, like, here's a map, go do this, go do that. Almost like a scavenger hunt.
Right, and that's a different experience. But that's what you thought it was going to be.
Right.
Which makes sense. But it's interesting that it's not that, and that it's a very unique experience for those that decide to dig deeper.
True. Did they need anything special to get into the Broken Compass, or did they just walk right up to it?
They didn't mention, but I told you they got a bunch of coins from different characters, so maybe they had that coin.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Not sure. They would be on the show, by the way. I know we keep talking about them, but they are literally driving to Colorado right now as they're moving to Colorado. They went to Dark Harbor, and... the next day they finished packing, and then the next morning they left.
Wow.
So, but I saw them before they left late Saturday night, and that's why I know all this information from them, because they told me about it.
Thank you. It's really, I'm like, oh, I should go back and do all the immersive stuff.
Well, it does give you that repeat ability.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, last year, you could just, if you found the bar, you could walk into it. And this year, it's like, oh, no, where's your token? It's like, oh, man, I got to leave the maze, go find a character, try to get them to give me a token, and then wait in the line again to go back to get into the bar. You know, it's kind of makes the bars more exclusive.
It does, and not everyone really knows that the monsters give the tokens away, right? I mean, everyone on the show listens to the show knows, but
right.
But that was not information we had going in, right? So.
Not at all. No, no one really explained even what the tokens were for. It was like, this token has a 13 on it. I'm like, what maze is that for? I didn't even know it was the Dead Rise maze.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to know what maze it's for, but it's pretty abstract and weird and hard. So here's some real tips here on this podcast that if you haven't gone yet, will help you figure it out. But yeah, all right. Is there anything else that we missed that we needed to talk about?
No, thank you. Yeah, I feel like we would talk about something and I'd backtrack to something that we've already talked about. So I feel like really covered everything because I remember this too. So that was good. I think we gave a very in-depth kind of analysis of the harbor.
Indeed. Overall, I'm going to say this. If you had never been to Dark Harbor, you definitely need to go. This is the best time to go. And if you haven't before, it's different. So you should go. Either way, you should go. I know a few of our reviews were like not super on 10 or whatever, but it doesn't even matter because I'm going to say Intrepid and B340 are worth the price of admission.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think what I like about it too is it feels really homey. There's just a vibe there that you don't get with other theme parks, where it's, you know, Dark Harbor is really high quality, but it also feels very, I don't know, quaint and kind of like a community in a weird way, because all the mazes are themed together with this historical Queen Mary backdrop.
Right. No, it's all one big story, and it's all and it's in a real place, and that's like I said, that's the uniqueness of Dark Harbor, that in Southern California in particular, you can't emulate that experience anywhere else. You know, I did mention Eastern State Penitentiary has some kind of haunt there, which I've never experienced, but when I lived on the East Coast. But regardless, I think it's just one thing there anyways. But this is, you really feel like you're at a real place with real things going on, especially the carnival vibe, because, you know, that like creepy carnival vibe is... It really makes you feel like, oh, these people came here and set up shop.
Yeah.
You know, like, it yeah, definitely. So if you go to the Queen Mary for other times, you're not surprised that they're not there, because carnivals don't stay there forever. But if you only go to Dark Harbor, it kind of has the same effect where, you know, you believe that they're always there. It just works either way, is what I'm saying.
And I'd add too that there's no scare zone, but everywhere is a scare zone, kind of. I mean, I got a lot of jump scares just from people walking around the park, and they find you. And there, I felt like there were a lot of actors everywhere just walking around the park. So you're definitely occupied while you're waiting in between mazes or taking a rest. Oh, another thing too is there's nowhere to sit really at all. I mean, unless you want to sit on the curb, getting a creepy cabana would be beneficial if you're someone that really needs to sit in between mazes, because you're kind of like, it's kind of difficult to find anywhere. There's no benches. There's no tables.
As far as for eating purposes, there should be a lot more seating areas. I didn't think about that.
There's no grass to sit on anywhere either.
Yeah, that's they should have seats or benches or something. I feel like they had some in the past, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a good thing we, you know, had places to kind of sit, because it would have been rough, I think, without, especially if you're waiting in line for 90 minutes. I saw B340 had a 90-minute wait line, and then you're like, oh, I just want to sit down, but you're like, where, you know?
Yeah, we literally would sit down on the curbs.
Yeah, sitting on curbs, sitting on weird boxes or things that we found.
I didn't realize that until you said that out loud. You're very observant.
I just like to sit.
No, I realized we kept leaning on things whenever we could.
Yeah, you know me.
I just thought I was tired, but no, you're right. But anyway, in conclusion, you know, I still think it's great. Like I said, if you've never been before, this is the time to go. And if you hadn't been in a while, it's totally revamped. You know, just, you know, take our little tips and make the best of it. Alrighty, that's going to do it for this episode. Like I stated at the top of the show, we have several more Stay Haunted episodes coming your way within the next week or so. And when haunt season's over, don't worry. We have a lot more planned. Keep the hauntingness going year round. For show notes, pics, links, everything that you need, just go to creepykingdom.com. Well, until next time, everybody, stay haunted.